Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. I'll be reading from the New International Version today of Acts chapter 16, verses 9 to 15. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called him to preach the gospel to them. From Trios, they put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, they went to Neapolis. From there, they traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And they stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, they went outside the city gate to the river, where they expected to find a place of prayer. He sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of the household were baptized, she invited them to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded them to do so. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Amen.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn, come with the rain and cleanse, come with the wind and breathe, come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us, claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. You've heard part of the in the questions of faith, you've heard part of the background of the text. I have just a little bit more that I want to share with you. If you, some of you are familiar with the book of Acts, and we covered a little bit of it earlier. I'm just going to add these thoughts. The reading from Acts 11, 1 to 18 deals with the issues of clean versus unclean, both with regard to people and food. The reading today, though just five chapters later, is seemingly light years away. The range in terms of geography has grown much larger. After the conversion of Cornelius in chapter 10, the conversion of the Gentiles is first reported in chapters 13 and 14, as a mission by Paul and Barnabas. Acts 15 suspends missionary journeys by discussing the problems of circumcision with regard to Gentile converts in Antioch. Paul and Barnabas are central to the story because they are messengers between Jerusalem and the Antioch churches. Paul and Barnabas disagree over whether Mark should join them. Barnabas takes Mark, Paul takes Silas. Timothy joins Paul and Silas in Lystra. Paul is in Asia on the coast of the Aegean Sea. Macedonia would be the next stop on the journey, which is where our text is today, the other side of the Aegean Ocean. In verses 6 through 10, a Macedonian visits Paul in a dream, asking that he come across the Aegean to preach. Paul's quest for a vision in verses 11 through 15 are about Lydia and the first Macedonian convert. Though the actions have a different focus, they complement each other. Luke goes out of his way to show in verses 6 through 10 how Paul's mission to Asia Minor was mostly false starts. That's not part of today's text, but it's an important part to note that there were false starts. Verse 6 is the Holy Spirit forbids Paul to speak the word in Asia. Verse 7, when Paul, Silas, and Timothy attempt to go into Bithynia, the text states that the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. a great deal of travel without much success, Paul's vision was not clear and focused, meaning he's here, he's there. But Paul, Timothy, and Silas stuck with it. The result is the conversion of Lydia. What can be said for certain about the early Acts of the Apostles is they moved on faith. So part of the question the text lures us to consider is what moves us in terms of faith? What movement does the grace and love of God call forth in us? How does it motivate us? Ralph Milton tells this wonderful story in an e-newsletter that he printed some years ago about a writer who, due to a bureaucratic snafu in the afterworld, she's allowed to choose whether she goes to heaven or hell. So, being the shrewd writer that she is, she tells Peter that she'd like a tour of both. Peter takes her to hell, and there are writers chained to their desks, sitting at typewriters. It's that antiquated. Chained to their desks, and the room is hotter than 1,000 suns. Flames lick at their fingers as they try to work, and behind them are devils lashing at them with chains. And she says, "Well, this is pretty bad, but it is hell. Let's have a touch of heaven." And in an instant, Peter has her in heaven, and there is a group of writers chained to their desks. Room is hotter than 1,000 suns. The devils are behind them, lashing them with chains, and it even smells worse than hell. So she said, "What's up, Pete? Why is this worse than hell?" And he said, "Ah, the difference. The difference is these folks get their works published." Remember that term, perspective. I remember in grad school when one of my favorite professors, we were talking heaven and hell as concepts, and he said something that really offended me. He said that I'm not sure that heaven and hell exist in a tangible manner. I think we go about creating this while we're alive. And as I said, it did. It offended me, and I thought about it, and that was decades ago, and I confess that I think the old boy was probably right. It's different how time motivates you to change your thought. Just some thoughts about what might move us. Little snapshots here. Sir Winston Churchill lived almost 100 years, 91 to be exact. Or 90, I'm sorry. What is the use of living if it is not to strive for noble causes and to make this muddled world a better place for those who live in it after we are gone? He was knighted by Queen Elizabeth II in 1953. An interesting quote. So he's saying we need not be motivated by money or power or whatever you think. We ought to be motivated about what's inside of us to leave this world a better place. William Inge, the playwright who died in 1973, said, "Nobody is ever bored when he or she is trying to make something that is beautiful or to discover something that is true." The way I look at that is if we're invested in something that we think is important and beautiful and true, it feels better. It doesn't feel like work. It feels like joy. Richie Havens died, I think, about 10 days ago, maybe a little bit more. And Jerry Rubin wrote this to the LA Times in the op-ed section. And Richie Havens was the opening act for Woodstock. As someone who truly worked and sang out for peace, freedom, and equality, and a clean environment, it's appropriate and should always be remembered that Richie Havens passed away on Earth Day. That's a noble thing to say, almost a holy thing, I'd say. I close with this thought. Audrey Hepburn, who died far too young in 93 at 64 years of age, said this: "I believe in being strong when everything seems to be going wrong. I believe that happy girls are the prettiest girls. I believe that tomorrow is another day. And I believe in miracles." Tomorrow is another day. Whether we want it to or not, the sun is going to come out tomorrow, and not just because Annie sang it, but because that's the way creation works. We ought to be people of hope. We ought to be motivated by love rather than hatred and vengeance. The grace of God ought to be the vehicle on which we move. May it ever be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.